This is How Success Happens, where the staff of Entrepreneur chats with innovators, writers, artists, chefs, and a range of other unique personalities to better understand the traits that make excellence possible.
Nobody in Silicon Valley thinks it's actually them. They think everybody else is like this.
One of my regrets actually now, we should have pulled the plug sooner.
It's amazing when the universe sees you commit, how all of a sudden all these resources start to come together.
Thanks for joining us. And now, How Success Happens.
Hi, I'm Joan Olick, Associate Contributors Editor for Entrepreneur.com, and you're listening to our How Success Happens podcast. Today's guests are Wendy Robbins and Karen Paul, co-creators and co-producers of The Marijuana Show on Amazon Prime, which is currently in its third season and is in pre-production for season four to be partially shot in Canada, which just legalized cannabis. What is The Marijuana Show? CNBC dubbed it the Shark Tank for the pot industry, and the phrase stuck. And as its website, themarijuanashow.com, points out, this program aims to help entrepreneurs in the booming cannabis industry create a blueprint for investment and success. In this context, the site says it's looking for the next, quote, marijuana millionaire, end quote. Okay, so first some background on these two cannabis entrepreneurs. Wendy Robbins, the director and editor of the show, is a two-time Emmy Award-winning documentary filmmaker. She attended Juilliard and is the author of the book Why Marry a Millionaire, Just Be One. She is also an inventor who introduced to us the Tingler head massager, which earned her $10 million in sales and which I personally bought as a birthday gift for a friend some years back. Karen Paul, the series co-producer, dreamed up the idea of doing a reality show. Early on, she was a VP of sales for Snapfish and helped turn that company into a desirable acquisition for HP, which paid $300 million for it. Paul also founded her own consulting business, which brought in over $25 million in digital advertising sales for her clients. In addition, she's been a Broadway producer and the playwright behind 25 produced plays and one musical. Paul and Robbins, who are partners in life as well as in business, they're legally married, are based in Taos, New Mexico, and currently their home after promoting Legalize It in 25 states. That's their documentary on the medical benefits of the cannabis compound CBD, which introduces us to a number of patients, including some very young ones, who unfortunately are battling life-threatening illnesses. These patients or their parents describe how they've been helped by the cannabis compound cannabidiol, known for short as CBD, where mainstream pharmaceuticals have failed. We'll talk to Wendy and Karen in a moment, but first, a word from our sponsors.
FedEx delivers millions of packages around the world, but for FedEx, it's not just about packages or pallets, it's about what those deliveries mean for people. Whether it's rekindling a long-lost connection between old friends, a new business opportunity, or providing much-needed hope after a natural disaster in the form of relief supplies, FedEx delivers more than just packages. FedEx delivers possibilities. Find out more at fedex.com/possibilities.
And now for our second sponsor. Formerly an attorney in New York City, Linda transformed her hobby of locating hard-to-find items into a thriving luxury consignment company called Linda's Stuff. What was once a passion project is now a 100-person company in a 93,000-square-foot facility. As someone running a company that specializes in high-end, previously owned goods, Linda knows that reputation is everything. Integrity and trust are a critical part of how the company operates. From day one, this entrepreneur has counted on PayPal to help give her customers confidence and protect her business from fraud, even when she sells internationally. She's counted on PayPal every step of the way. When it comes to growing your business, PayPal is your payments partner for today and tomorrow. Visit paypal.com/growth to set up a business account today. Again, that's paypal.com/growth. Sign up for free today. So, ladies, welcome.
Wow, Wendy. Oh, we sound pretty good. Wendy, let me start with you. When you started The Marijuana Show in 2014, I imagine you met with no shortage of guffaws about a show revolving around what some people viewed at the time as mere stoners. How have you gotten the viewing public to take you seriously and see the business opportunities and profit opportunities in legal cannabis businesses?
Well, that's a great question. I think that we lucked out in terms of our timing because cannabis had just become legal from a recreational or an adult standpoint. And because of that, the timing meant that we got a lot of press. And so we got, for instance, CNBC came out, Fox, NPR, et cetera, Bloomberg. And so because of that, it catapulted itself into something where people really wanted to talk about it. And we've been shared by about 250 million people through press. So it's really gone mainstream. And I think because it's a financial show, something that seems somewhat similar to Shark Tank, it got a lot of interest, you know, and we were definitely trying to break the stereotypes. We're definitely around advocating, educating, and helping to legalize cannabis.
Karen, you're still filming the third season, I believe. Can you supply some statistics about the show, number of auditions, number of cannabis entrepreneurs who made it through those auditions to actually appear on the show, number of deals, who the investors are, the dollar amount of those deals to date? Just kind of throw some numbers at me.
Of course. I love numbers. And thank you for having us. This is really a wonderful interview. So, yeah, in our three seasons, we've had about 2,500 people audition. Each show, we average about 10 contestants per show. So the odds are actually going up. In other words, it used to be a little easier to get on our show. And now I would say it's about 100-1, just because we're approached by so many people who want to get on our show, not just to get investment, but to get the marketing and exposure that's provided by being on a show with Amazon Prime. And being in the advertising industry, I could tell you, there is nowhere to go besides magazines and conferences. Television, you still have to buy an infomercial space, which is quite expensive, if you want to get your word out there. And they censor you pretty amazingly. So basically, it's about 100-1 moving forward into season 4. As far as money offered, we've offered over $20 million to contestants across all three seasons. The first season was $5 million. Season 2 was $13 million. And season 3, $3 million.
And where does the money come from?
The money comes from investors that we have on the show and also our fund. So starting with season 1, the money came from investors that were on the show that saw the contestants' products, that liked the contestants or the products or both, and made an offer. The same is true of season 2 and season 3. And each season, I want to point out, is different. When we started, we didn't really have a Shark Tank model. CNBC coined a Shark Tank for the cannabis industry, and we said, like you said in the beginning, we'll take it. It's stuck. But we didn't have the panel. In other words, we don't put all of our energy behind the investors. We put more of our focus on the spotlight on the entrepreneurs, and we look at our show as a hero's journey. And at the end, we get the investors to believe in them and give them money. And then the difference between all of our seasons and season 3 is we launched a fund called High Finance Fund, which has a series of investors and us involved in looking at those projects we would like to get involved with financially, which we actually did. We actually launched a project, and I'll let you ask more questions because you might get into that later. But all in all, it's $20 million issued across the three seasons.
Wendy, tell me about some of the more successful pitches you've gotten and some of the crazier ones.
Well, the craziest one was a woman on season 1 who said, and she had rainbow-colored hair, and she said she just wanted weed to look like her hair, just lots of different colors and stuff. And she was just one of those characters you just have to crack up. I mean, there's others that we auditioned in Taos, you know, like a singing priest who's not really a priest, but he just sang off-key about cannabis. I just remember him because he was just a really wacky kind of guy. The ones that really have done well are like Luke from season 2. He was in the finance side of things on Wall Street, young guy, and he really wanted to be into cannabis. And his whole family were dealing with health issues, particularly cancer. And so he said, I will do whatever it takes to make sure nobody has cancer. Okay, that was just his big vision. But we believed in him, and he'd never grown anything before, and we got him $750,000, and he is doing incredibly well. As a matter of fact, we partnered with him, and somebody also from season three, who's a mother of eight, who has she's a formulator of products for CBD. So combining the two, it was really cool because then we could create something called Club Hemp, clubhemp.co. And it's, again, it's really cool to continue to work with people, from our show.
Yeah. I mean, you brought up something I wanted to ask about. I think a lot of people who aren't that familiar with cannabis think of it as a way to get stoned, which I guess it is, but also in terms of medical advances using CBDs, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, cannabidiol or CBD is hemp. So it's derived, it's cannabis, cannabis sativa, but it's from the hemp, from the male plant. It doesn't have any psychoactive effects. And as a matter of fact, the FDA has recently just approved of one product for epilepsy and called it Schedule 5. So in other words, Schedule 1 means there's no medical benefit and equates it to heroin or, coke, basically. So, obviously cannabis has medical benefits, et cetera. So it's really interesting to see that I think it's going to turn. That's what we're hoping for. And then what we found is just incredible health benefits. And again, we're not doctors. And I can't say anything cures because of the FDA, any kind of pain, et cetera. But if you do research, by the way, there's millions of people that research on a monthly basis CBD. And so, check it out because it's incredible. And we basically, inside your body, the reason why CBD is so interesting is you have CBD receptors inside your body. Your body is meant for cannabis. But when it's locked up, basically you go out of balance. And so this unlocks that so that you basically have great balance or homeostasis in the body. When you have homeostasis, you're getting rid of inflammation. You're feeling more balanced. You're feeling more relaxed, more chill. And so, stress obviously is a high killer. This helps to stop that kind of stress.
It sounds like something entrepreneurs would be very interested in if they're not already. Karen, talk to me about some of the challenges. Talk to me about some of the challenges you guys have encountered along the way of, first conceiving the marijuana show, getting it on the air, and obviously being somewhat successful with it since they keep inviting you back for another season.
They do. I feel very grateful. I mean, I first have to say that I have deep gratitude, Wendy and I do both, for the success we've had, especially as two business women who happen to be gay. The odds are stacked up against us in some ways. And, as far as the glass ceiling, I think we burst right through it like superheroes. I think the reason it's been so successful, and I'll get to your question, is Wendy's, she has two Emmy Awards and it's not her first rodeo. So we brought to the cannabis industry professional Hollywood level quality production. So it speaks for itself. But as far as the obstacles along the way, I mean, having been in the advertising industry for over 15 years, starting at CBS Television, I was not prepared for all the obstacles in being able to advertise our show. And having the word marijuana in the title, which we, by the way, have a trademark for, the Marijuana Show, but having that word was a filter that a lot of the social media sites didn't like initially. And it took us months and months, years actually, to get Facebook to realize you can't smoke this show. It's an educational business show. It is not about the stoner culture. It is not about getting stoned. It's about the investment and the business opportunities in the cannabis world. So I would say that was the biggest obstacle that we luckily found Amazon Prime to be our saving grace for, because it is in itself a commercial for our show, just being able to be there. And we're also able to bring sponsors into the fold, giving them the same exposure that they wouldn't be able to have otherwise. One other quick obstacle that we ran into is just honestly having to screen out a lot of people that are just too stoned to put a business plan together, or not prepared for the fact that we're really needing numbers, not pie in the sky. I'm worth $40 billion. In fact, we had a chocolatier, a very good background on this guy. A chocolatier came from Wall Street. He pitched us and he said he was worth $40 million. And our first question was, have you made a chocolate? And he hadn't made one piece of chocolate, but he was planning to be worth $40 million. And we said, we can't really, at this point, we laughed together. And we also felt like, okay, it's really our job to educate people what we're looking for in a business. And that's a business plan that is actually viable, scalable, that's based on real numbers, not fuzzy math.
And along those same lines, I understand the two of you launched an educational series called Bud Camp, where entrepreneurs can take free and fee-based classes in marketing, legal issues, dispensaries, licenses, edibles, investment, and more. How's that gone?
It's interesting. We're bringing it back on. I mean, it was up. We took it down. We're working on it. We have a whole bunch of new content that actually will go up in the next couple of weeks. So we'll offer free classes on the health benefits of cannabis, especially for people that may not know, may not understand. So we have doctors, nurses, and scientists. And then we also have business classes and also classes for investors. So why invest? You know, what stocks to invest in? What obstacles are there? What do you watch out for? That kind of thing. And we really liked that because we just found there was a lot of BS in this industry, and we wanted to make sure that we were presenting stuff that is really based on what's going on right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And so we interview experts and attorneys and accountants and just all sorts of teachers that really just do short little pieces, 10, 15 minutes, because people just don't have the time they used to, right? So then you get really good information in a short period of time.
Is that accessible via a link off the Marijuana Show site?
Yeah, budcamp.net. And we're actually, again, just literally going in and putting it back up, et cetera. But that's where people can find classes. And also, if you wanted to just know about hemp or CBD, if somebody's listening and thinking, God, I really am dealing with some issues, I think CBD would help me, then clubhemp.co is the place that you'd want to check out. And we're going to have videos and frequently asked questions and things like that. Again, just educating people.
Cool. And speaking of things that you do outside the show itself, you've recently made and promoted this documentary. I mentioned earlier you'd been to 25 states. The documentary is called Legalize It. What's the reception been like during the screenings?
Oh, my gosh. It's been amazing. I would say, and this is Karen, one of our, I think, best events was in Tampa. And we did it in partnership with Sensi Magazine, and Shauna Cole was amazing. She basically, we got a theater rented out. And I think we had about 300 people. There were sponsors involved. But because Florida is a little bit backwards, and, you know, they're medical, they're not rec yet, and because they're really conservative in a lot of ways, this event really helped open the world of what's possible with these products. There's a lot of people that already were in the know, but then they brought friends that were like, wow, I didn't realize kids could take this. And politicians arrived, and it really helped forward the conversation that will eventually help turn the vote to forward more of the legislation that helps legalize cannabis and eventually have it be federally legal, which is our ultimate goal. Because we think everyone should have access, and some of the medical programs across the United States are very limited. Like, you have to have PTSD in order to get qualified for the medical program in New Mexico. And there's a few other conditions that have opened up, but every state's different. So the reason we took it across all these different states is because every state has different policies, procedures, and climate. And for us, while driving across, one thing that stood out was in Texas, there were way more billboards there about getting arrested for marijuana than anywhere in the whole country. And we thought that was an interesting, very interesting to see.
Billboards that said what?
It basically said, are you marijuana? Get arrested? did you get arrested for marijuana? Let me help. Or don't drive while under the influence of marijuana. And there were no other places that we really saw those kind of billboards. So it just really stood out that Texas has a lot to learn about this plan.
I mean, I know you were promoting the film in some of the states that have cannabis initiatives on the ballot coming up in, 2 weeks. Are you observing any kind of a trend towards greater acceptance, you know, sort of in amongst the people who previously would have had no exposure to marijuana?
I think so. You know, the reason why we put legalize it together is to show, for instance, that the United States has a patent on the medical benefits of cannabis and cannabidiol. And yet at the same time, they have a drug, you know, war on drugs that seems to be futile. So we talk about that. We talk about how much money the drug companies, the pharmaceutical companies have made and how many overdoses versus cannabis, zero overdoses. So by us explaining it, what we're doing is we're sharing stories. We're sharing stories of mothers. We're sharing stories of children. We're sharing stories of professional athletes and vets and vets' wives. To just talk, literally, and we talked to somebody who was so scared of cannabis that she put her children in jail, basically, because juvenile hall, because she found them smoking pot, but then she ended up getting cancer, stage 4, and her son ended up having epilepsy, 300 to 500 seizures a day, and so she realized, like, wow, I need to start paying attention to cannabis. And literally within days, he stopped having those seizures, and then she started to get better. It took her years. And again, the only reason why she did cannabis is because the doctor said, there's nothing we can do at this point. The chemo hasn't worked. The radiation hasn't worked. You've got to make your plans, end-of-life plans. And she said, no, I am not going to be doing that. And then that is when she explored cannabis. So I think that the film is really good for people to watch, particularly prohibitionists and people that are just fearful or just not quite sure.
Yeah, I found it very powerful and, you know, full of information about what we're all talking about. And still, a lot of people are not aware and are wondering what's going on. So, you know, see the film, legalize it. It's online. Okay, one or two more questions. Where do you guys see the cannabis market headed? There's so many companies getting into it. Do you think the market might get too crowded for further investments?
That's a really interesting question. You know, Wendy and I definitely think there's an 18-month runway, give or take, for companies to go public. Right now, it seems like, especially in Canada, going public is sort of in, just like the dot-com era. We do feel like there will be a bubble. The valuations are a bit high, a bit fluffy. We think that they'll come down to reality in the next few years. But right now there's a consolidation and a roll up a lot of smaller players into larger companies. And of course, we're seeing Constellation Brands and Coca-Cola, a lot of other companies coming into the fold and saying, we want to be part of this. We don't want to be left out. Big Pharma as well is obviously showing their hand. So we are seeing that big corporations are coming in to acquire smaller companies. There's a lot of niche companies that are going to have to grow or maybe, get acquired by larger companies or merge with partner companies in order to really have a play in the race. And for whatever reason, I do see it as a race because I do feel like there's a lot of companies that are now going, oh my gosh, the cannabis industry is here. Where was I? I have $1 million. I want to get involved. We're seeing a lot of investors and frankly, we are going into Canada for season 4 because Canada is a much bigger market, because it's federally legal. We are going to be, that's where our next season is. And you're the first to hear that.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I will definitely watch it. Finally, what's the next step for someone to get his or her cannabis business an audition and try to get some funding from you?
Yeah, you know, if people want to audition for our show, they just go to themarijuanashow.com. I think it's /audition.
Yeah.
But it'll actually be up there. And then they can audition. And what we ask for is like a 2-minute video, just so we can understand who's this person, what are they passionate about. And it really comes down to numbers. We have a whole team that just vets numbers. And because we're doing our show in Canada, we'll still have American companies as well. But that room just vets the deals. And so imagine it's bankers literally looking at the numbers, seeing if it'll scale and it makes sense. The reason why we like United States companies is we feel as an investor, the investment really needs to go to American companies because Canada, the valuations are crazy. They're insane. They're just really, really high. There's no way that these companies can ever make the money that they're being projected. So, you know, American companies, we still feel have a lot of value and we want to make sure that they're included in season four.
And I wanted to add to that. Mm-hmm. And just really quick, Joan, if they go to themarijuanashow.com/audition and fill out the form, it's a really good first step. But I'd like to ask that they have at least a business plan together or a deck so that they're not coming in this with just an idea. We're looking for established companies, companies that have some revenue to show. And also we're looking for diversity. We'd like to encourage more women, more people of color to please audition. We are definitely bridging that gap. We'd like to do a better job of it. And, we encourage more people and more diversity to come our way.
Sounds great. Wendy and Karen, thank you so much for your time and wish you well in your Canadian sojourn and stay in touch.
You know we will, Joan.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you both. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. How Success Happens comes out every week. To catch each episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Like, share, and leave us a review so we can always be improving. Go to entrepreneur.com for more episodes of this show and our other great podcasts. That's entrepreneur.com. Thanks.